looking at catch up. We talked about it last week, and we want to continue in that regard this morning, because that's the word of God to us. So I don't do sports like that. Though lately I've started trying to get into the game and trying to work out, and man, it's not easy. Muscles are not for sale. You don't just buy it like that. You know, it's a lot of work. So we are working it up. So be praying for me, okay? All right. So I don't really like a sport per se, although I think I need to start liking one sport because of my boys. You know, they're already pushing me in one regard or the other. But, you know, so I watch sports when I want to watch sports. I don't like to be entangled. There are many guys that if their team is playing, okay, is any team playing today? Because I can't see somebody. There's a guy I'm expecting to be in church, but I'm not sure if a team is playing or is a team playing today. Okay. So there are many fans, and sometimes after service, some pastoral people too, they will go into some pastoral soccer kind of discussion. And it's okay, but I'm not that kind of person. But I grew up in Africa, and you can't grow up in Africa and not do some level of soccer. It's either you play it or you watch it. In fact, most of the time, you have to play. At least to a level, you can kick the ball, you can, you know, raise ball. You know, sometimes when I do that with my kids, he's like, who taught you that? Like, I grew up in where everybody has to know how to do that. But something happened in 1989. Some of you might remember that story. They call it the miracle of Dammam. Nigeria under 20 team, they were 4 goals down by 46 minutes into the game. Now, the game of soccer, I see many people here. You look like people that would know how soccer works, but just so you know, soccer usually had two halves, 45 minutes, and everything concluded in that two half, except some extra minutes and all of that. By the 46th minute, USSR, which we now know as Russia, the Soviet Union, by the name they were called then, they had gotten to 4-0 for the Nigerian team. They were 4-0. They were 4-0 ahead. So at that time, I mean, in a World Cup event like that, in an event of that nature and that magnitude of professional soccer, it's almost impossible to come back after 46 minutes. I mean, even if it was 2 minutes into the game, 4-0 is a tall order. And that was what was going on with the Nigerian team at that time. But in a way that they, in fact, this morning I had to go and check it again. Wikipedia has it as the miracle of Dammam. I like sometimes when, you know, the natural world catches up with us in the spiritual world to call some things miracle, because it was not simply miracle. And it's on Wikipedia till today as the miracle of Dammam. And what happened there was that somehow, just like it will happen for somebody, somehow Nigeria came back from 4-0 and they became 4-4 by the end of the second half. I'm telling somebody listening to me this morning, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what will happen. I don't know what God will need to shift. But 2017, you will finish this year and you'll be pleasantly surprised. Because some of you may be thinking, okay, if God were to do miracle, how will he do it? I have seen some little miracle before. Several years ago, I've probably told you that story here before. I started schooling in the United States 2005. I was doing a master's program. And then I started. And then I was doing it from Nigeria then. And then I was, you know, doing it at my own pace. They now sent me an email and told me that, look, if you don't finish this program in the next 1 year, you lose all your credits and you lose everything. I'm like, ah. You don't know the exchange rate. I mean, this no, I'm not going to lose everything. So what that meant was that I needed to be in the United States in a very short order so that I can finish that program. So I'm like, at that time I was already working, so I was past the age of parents paying things for me, right? Because I was already working, so I'm supposed to be able to pay that myself. So I looked at my mom, I'm like, I can't pay this money. It's from where? Even if they give me my whole annual salary and say, take in the first month, I can't pay this money. So, but I wanted to travel to the United States to come and complete the program. So I had it in mind. And somewhere along the line, the general overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, we kind of know one another somehow. Some people know about that, you know. So he knew that I was planning to travel. So one day I went to his house. So I was saying hi to somebody in the house. And then he saw me and said, "Ah, young man, I thought you wanted to travel to the United States." I said, "Yes, I want to travel, but there's no money." So he looks at me. This is January 2007. I wanted to travel so that I can start school by August 2007. So he looks at me and says, "Well, before you go, the money will be in the account." I said, "Amen." Then he said, "Well, let me know when you are going because I want to give you something." And I was so excited. I thought he was going to say he will give me money. He said, "I will give you my bank statement so that they will know that you know me. But I'm not going to give you the money in the bank." I'm like, "Excuse me, sir." I didn't say that to you, but in my mind, I'm like, "Excuse me, sir. If you give me a statement, don't even give me the statement. Give me the money. I'll figure out what will happen with the statement." You know, so he told me that the money will be in the account by the time I go there. So, I mean, it wasn't a prayer, kneel down kind of prayer. So it was like, we're talking like this. So I said amen, casually, like, I cannot not say amen. You are the general overseer, sir. So I said amen, casually. I didn't believe it. I just took it and put it somewhere. But this was January. By June 2007, not only was I had gone to the embassy and gotten the visa and all of that, but I had the money. I had the money. I thought somebody will celebrate God for me. Amen. Oh, come on. But I had the money, and it was not, he didn't give me like he said, but God did some miracles that was beyond my expectation. Because at that time, my expectation was that how will I catch up? Because even if you gave me my annual, I wasn't even earning that much to be able, if you gave me my annual salary and I was not going to have any living expense, I would still be able to pay that fees. But God did it for me. Somebody listening to me this morning, God is going to do it for you. Amen. So, setbacks are common in life. There's a lot of setbacks. People have setbacks here and there. But comebacks make every setback. It makes it a child's play. And I'm believing that in the name of Jesus, you are going to have a comeback. In the name of Jesus. Let's start our journey like this morning. Deuteronomy 28 verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 2. The Bible said, "And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake you," or overtake thee, "if you will hearken," or "if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord your God." All these blessings will overtake you. Overtake is another word for catch up. These blessings will catch up with you. Now, God was talking to a people who had been in slavery several years. The Israelites, at this point, when God was saying this statement, have been used to slavery for several years. They had worked for no pay. Slavery is not what we, you know, people work for people. But slavery was not somebody working for people, for some another person. You were somebody else's property. So every work you do, it didn't matter anything. You were not going to get paid for it. There was no result from the efforts that these people were putting into their life. And so God was now telling them that all those effortless work, resultless efforts, all those times that you had worked, you had done things and it didn't produce anything, I am telling you that there will be a compound interest. Those things will catch up with you. There are people here this morning, you have done some things and the reward you got from them is not commensurate to the effort or to the impute or to the things that you are putting. Don't despair, because God is saying to you this morning, your reward is here in the name of Jesus. We were looking at the story of David from 1 Samuel chapter 16 last week, and then we can look at that story again this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 16 from verse 5 to verse 11. And in that story, we read about how Samuel came to anoint a king in David's house. And for some weird reason, David's father forgot that David was one of the children. He was not the likely candidate. He was not supposed to be the one getting it. He was not the one that everybody would have thought is a king material. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you this? There are some people that don't look like it, but God can make them eat. There are some things that you may not qualify for in the natural, but God knows how to qualify the unqualified. So if you are hearing me this morning, you may not be qualified for it, but God qualifies you. And it's your turn in the name of Jesus. So what happened was that Samuel got to David's house and he was looking for the king. And the father was too sure it was not going to be David. In fact, they had to remind the father that, are these all the children that you have? It was that the father now said, oh, that's true. I have another child. He's at the backside of the desert. He's at the back of the line. You know, sometimes in life, there are imaginary lines, imaginary steps, imaginary levels that have been set up by human beings or that are just there. And many people expect to take step one, step two, step three. But ladies and gentlemen, sometimes if you follow that progression, you won't get to your destiny. You will get to the finish line. That's why God usually will make a person leave step one and he will put him on step 20. I see somebody having that kind of experience in the name of Jesus. So God has the ability to make you skip steps, to make you skip levels, to make you skip the normal things. Because look at David. David, if you remember, the first king of Israel was a warrior. He was somebody that was physically built to fight. The Bible said when they anointed Saul, Saul was taller than every other person in the country. He was the tallest. So physically, he was good for the job. So David, at this point, was a teenager. He had not been groomed for that job because after we talk about the physical part, then there was now training that had to go into place. David needed to be part of the military. He needed to be like one of his brothers. You know, one of his brothers was a military person. And one of his brothers, not even one of his brothers, two of his brothers were in the military. And David should have got enlisted in the military so that he will now be a candidate for the throne. Because that's what it was supposed to be, the progression. But God skipped that step. God skipped the physical step. God even skipped the skillful step. Because there are some things that you are not skillful for. But the skill does not disqualify you. Because God is able to give you things that are beyond your skill. If you are listening to me this morning, I'm talking about you. That there are things that you are not skillful for. There are things that in the natural you may not be able to do. But because God is on your side, you are coming to that place in the name of Jesus. So somehow, David was brought there from the back of the line to the front of the line. God is still bringing people from the back of the lines to the front of the line. They said, it's not your turn. Wait for your time. Wait for your turn. But ladies and gentlemen, God can make it your turn now. It's now your turn. Can you say loud and clear, say, it's my turn. Oh, it's not yet your time. Oh, wait. You know, in America, you have to wait. Who told you that? Who told you that? Other people might have waited 5 years. Who told you have to wait 5 years? You know, some of the challenge I have sometimes with people that have experience is that they use their experience to become a model for every other person. Your experience should not be my experience. I'm sorry if you went through that experience. I'm not belittling your experience. But excuse me, there is a God that bypasses experience. There is a God that changes the rule. Because he's God. He does not have to apologize to anybody and say, oh, excuse me, five years ago, this is how I walked Emmanuel through this process. So that means Samuel too has to walk through that process. No, God said no. I can break the rule. I can change the order. I can change the way I do it. And I'm speaking concerning somebody. You are not going to finish at that appointed time, at that allotted time, but you will finish in the time of God. In the name of Jesus. So God broke the rules. God took him from the back and brought him to the front. And then this was David, now standing in front of Saul, the king. Long story short, David became king. And after David became king, you know, he started having challenges. And then we got to this place in 1 Samuel 30, where David suffered a major setback. Major, major setback. The Bible said, after David saw what had happened in 1 Samuel 30, the Bible said, everybody that was in his camp, they wept to the point that there was no strength in them to weep again. Remember, they were men. Men usually don't weep, traditionally, right? Most men are very egoistic and all of that. We don't cry. You know, men are always strong, so to say. Now, for men to weep until they have no strength, This is not just emotional display now. This is like we are clueless. We don't know what to do. And in fact, it now got to a level where people said, you know what? Why are we even crying? This David is the bad guy. I mean, how can this have happened? And the Bible said they thought of killing him. Like, you know, you are the bad egg inside this boat. We need to get rid of you. And then the Bible tells us that. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. 1 Samuel 30 is a good read. You can, when you get home, you can read it. Bible said David now encouraged himself in the Lord. And last week we went there and talked about the fact that encouraging himself in the Lord was the way he was looking. His perspective. He changed his perspective by looking up, looking back at what God had done before, and then looking forward to some of the things God can do. Because sometimes when people are despair, when people are depressed, when people feel like everything is closing on them, they are not looking at God. They are not looking up to God. They are looking up, they are looking around them. And where you look determines what happens to you. I said it last week that we look like what we look at. And that's why the Bible says, thou will keep him in perfect peace. He whose eyes is stayed on me. He whose eyes is stayed on me. So many times, many people are not able to catch up because they are looking at the wrong things. And we talked about looking at God last week. But after he did that, he now went a step further on this road to catch up. And the Bible said he inquired of the Lord. If you were to title to this message, you know, just a subset of this catch-up, you can call it "What Next." So he inquired of the Lord and said, "What next, O God? What next, O God?" He inquired of the Lord. How does a man like David, who lost everything, who is at the December of his life, and the January of his life, and to November of his life, he had been celebrating, but he lost everything from January to November. He lost it in one day. How does that kind of man, how does he recover from such a thing? The Bible tells us here. It says, and David inquired of the Lord. The next thing he did was he inquired of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, it is inquiries that lead to discoveries. It is inquiries. You know, one of the things that fascinates me in the Bible the most, especially in the ministry of Jesus Christ, most of the profound things that Jesus said were answers to questions. Most of the profound things. Go and read this, look through his ministry. Most of the profound things. The word born again was not in a sermon. It was not in the context of a sermon. It was in the context of an inquiry. There was a man named Nicodemus that came to Jesus by night. And he said, hey, you're doing so mightily and you're doing some amazing things. How is this possible? How can I get to the kingdom of God? You seem to really know about God. You seem to understand what's going on here. And Jesus said, except a man be born again. Did you know that there would not have been a born again, the word born again in our Bible, if not for inquiries? Inquiries lead to discovery. Majority of Jesus' ministry, inquiries. Inquiries. Mark 11, 22, 23. Mark 11, 22, 23. If a man shall believe and say to this mountain, be moved and be cast into the sea, I shall not doubt his heart. He shall have whatsoever he has said. How did that statement come out? Because he asked him a question. I said, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. And then he now answered them. Because inquiries will lead to discovery. There's somebody who will discover something in the name of Jesus. Because ladies and gentlemen, our world is governed by secrets. Even in the world of commerce, you will see something like this. If you see the logo of Coca-Cola, at the top, they will put this C there, right? C in circle, meaning it's copyrighted. Meaning, look, there's a secret behind this old company that we are paying the government to keep a secret. And then you hear of patents, people doing patents, they discover something, then they go to this intellectual property governing body. I say, look, I found this chemical component and I want you to make it that I'm the owner. So if anybody wants to use it, they must pay me royalty. That's why most of these people make money. Because once they find a particular product, they patent it. And if you use it, you must credit them. Even if maybe God spoke to you at the same time and they ran forward first and then they patented it. Yeah, they are the owner. The first person that comes forward is the owner. If, whether it steals or not, you know, so there's this argument. I don't know. I think there was this movie. Is it social media? I'm not sure. There were arguments about Facebook. You know, some people believe, some twins like that, they believe that it's their idea. But some of you don't even know those twins. Because they didn't go forward first, you know. So he's the person that runs forward and says, excuse me, sir, this is my own. Put my name on it. Why? Because our world is governed by secrets. It's governed by discoveries. And it is inquiries that bring discoveries. Ladies and gentlemen, there are still songs that have not been written. There are still books that are still yet to be written. There are still inventions in the hearts of men that has not come to pass. It is inquiries that will lead to discovery. I see you entering into realms of discovery in the name of Jesus. And asking is a precursor to receiving. Remember Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Matthew 7, verse 7. The Bible says, if you ask, you will receive. The other interpretation of that is, if you don't ask, you won't receive. It says, if you knock, the door will be opened unto you. Another way to say that is, if you do not knock, the door will remain closed. It says, if you seek, you will find. Another way to look at that is that, if you don't seek, you will not find. So there are so many things that have not been found. It's not because they are not there, but nobody is seeking it. I usually like the fact that they call people that discover things founders. They call them inventors. They don't call them creators. I mean, sometimes some people get weird about it and they say, that's the creator. It's not the creator. God is the creator of everything. We just discover. We just find. And the secret things belong to God. But the things which are revealed, they belong to you. And ladies and gentlemen, there are still things that need to be revealed. I declare that everyone listening to me this morning, your eyes will be opened to see what God is revealing to you in the name of Jesus. Because you see, one word from God, it can change a generation. It can change a life. One word. Just God saying one thing, everything changes. You remember the story I said at the beginning of this message about the man of God saying that before he didn't even pray. Because he's a man of God, he just said before the end of the year, the money will be there. He didn't even close his eyes. He didn't shake his head. He didn't even know I was going to come there. We didn't plan it. I didn't kneel down. I didn't close my eyes. But he didn't have to be dramatic. Because one word from God is enough to change everything. Ladies and gentlemen, that word is coming your way in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7, he said, God sent a word to Jacob. God sent a word. Move further. God sent a word to Jacob, and I lighted upon all of Israel. So God is interested in making one word that he speaks to us, that word will not just be a word that will just drop on us, but it can even affect our generation. It can affect our generation. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why we come to church. Some people think that when they come to church, they are standing as one man. You are standing as a generation. You are standing as representing everybody that is connected to your gene, representing everybody that is connected to your loins. So you can affect things for people that are yet to be born. Have you not noticed that there are children that get angry like their father? Some of them didn't even meet their father. Why? Because there are things that are passed from people to people. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a parent or you are intending to be a parent, you need to be careful to break things over your head and stop it over you. I personally believe that the role of parents is not just to have this cute, I have a baby, somebody I can kiss, you know, looks cute. Maybe it's part of it. But majorly, God wants you to be a pace setter. He wants you to change the order of things. He wants you to be able to, because you came ahead of them, things should be better for them. Because you came ahead of them, you should make way for them. You should be a pace setter. It is the height of irresponsibility for the things you suffered for your children to suffer it. You are not making them to learn anything. I hear people say things like they need to learn. No. That's what experience is for. They can learn from your experience. Look at the Bible. The whole of the Bible, is it not for learning? The Bible said these things happen to them so that they will become an experience or a tool book for us, so that we who the ends of the earth shall come, we can learn from them. I don't have to go through the Red Sea to understand that God can part the Red Sea, because Moses has done that. I don't even have to go and call down physical fire to understand that God can, he can do stuff like that, because Elijah has done that. I can read that. God can deal with me with something that I have to deal with today. Maybe my own is computer issues. God can deal with me on that one level, at that level. God doesn't have to do that. He has already done that. I can read about that. And similarly, in your life, if you are a parent or intending parent, there are many things you need to deal with. You need to stay with God and say, God, I want this thing to stop on me. I love parents that take that kind of stand. Look at the life of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham had some issues, especially along childbirth and then not saying the correct truth or having colored statements. You know, people say there's white lie, there's brown lie, pink lie, purple lie, and all of that. It's colored statement. Anything that is not true is not true. Whatever color you call it. Same thing Isaac had it. And then you saw that by the time we got to Jacob too, Jacob was now going to another level. He was almost combining what Abraham had and what Isaac had, and he was expanding on that, and he was really, in fact, the Bible calls him a cheat. He was good at it. But something happened to Jacob. Jacob said, you know what? I got to stop this thing on me. All these funny things happening and moving all over the place, then we have issue with giving birth, we have that, we did this, we that. No, I have to stop it on me. So there was a season in Jacob's life that Jacob said, this far and no further. This far and no further. Can somebody say that this morning? Say, this far and no further. That's what he told the devil. He drew the line in the sand and said, no more. So a word that comes to you can affect your change. A word that comes to you. That's why we come to church. When we come to church, we come to receive word. Because when they land on us, it can touch our children. It can affect our siblings. It can affect everything around us. Because that's the efficacy of the power of one word from the mouth of God. In 2 Kings chapter 5, from verse 1 to 19, we read of the story of Naaman. Naaman was this military guy. And he had a butt. He had leprosy. And the Bible said somehow he got to know that there was a prophet in Israel who can say a word and God will honor that word. And what happened to Naaman was that Naaman now tried to organize the meeting so that the man of God will lay his hands on him. Or will come and do something miraculous, something mighty, something, you know, dramatic. Which some of us expect and want. I don't have a problem with dramatic things, but sometimes the supernatural does not have to be dramatic. The supernatural can be very natural. It can look very simple. It can be very, you may just pass it for nothing. When Jesus was born, the Bible says he was born in a manger. No form there. Apart from the wise men and the few people that knew about it. It was not with bells and whistles. In fact, the king at that time did not know that there was a child that had been born. It was so simple. But that event changed the whole of history. Till tomorrow. That singular event, as simple and as uneventful as it seemed, it changed everything. So for Naaman was expecting a very drastic and dramatic things to happen when he goes to appear before this man of God. And so he shows up before this man of God, or he was approaching the man of God, and the man of God sends message to him before he lands that, go and tell that guy that he's coming. Go and wash in the river. Simple, stupid instruction. But it was an instruction anyway. One word. One word. And the guy got angry. He was like, are you kidding me? I have come to you for you to pray for me, and you tell me to go and wash in a river. A dirty one at that. I don't know which of the rivers in Chicago is dirty. Did that display stuff? I'm not sure. Well, just imagine a dirty river. I'm sure in some part of the world there are many dirty places. Rivers and all of that. You know? So just imagine something like that. General, 5-star general, 3-star general, say you should go and wash it down. And the guy got angry, but it was a simple word. Thank God for a servant that was working in his house. And the servant said, well, this man of God has not really said you should do anything that is completely impossible. I mean, he just said you should go and dip. At least let's try it out. Let's prove him wrong. Go and dip. Go and follow the simple instruction. Because one word from God, ladies and gentlemen, it can change everything. I'm believing God for somebody. Before the end of this year, you will get that one word. In the name of Jesus. In John chapter 2 from verse 1 to 5, we see another place where just one word was able to change disaster. Because there are so many people listening to me this morning. You are at what I call quarter to shame. You are very close to something that can become serious scandal, serious big deal, serious shame, serious stuff that people will be saying. You almost have to be explaining for people about God, about what happened and all of that. But one word from God can turn around the situation, can turn shame to glory. In that John chapter 2, we read of the story of Jesus at the Cana of Galilee. And the Bible said, they ran out of wine. But thanks be to God, there was somebody that understood the power of one word from God. And Mary said to them, this is how people catch up from setback. If you can get one word from him, if God can, you can position yourself in such a way that when God gives you that one word, you take that one word, things will change. And he told the servants that were there that whatever he tells you to do, do it. Because one word from God, ladies and gentlemen, can change the life of any man. And so, if you want to know what next am I supposed to do? You know, I personally believe as we look at a new year, we begin to plan and begin to see some big pictures of what God wants to do in the preceding year. Because the MO of God is that God wants to make the evening and the day the first day. That's how the Bible records it in Genesis chapter 1. That the evening and the morning, the first day. So it's like the evening precedes the morning. The yesterday precedes today. So the new year really, really should start this year. Many people, by the time they get to 2018, they're already failures because something has not happened this year. So that's why you and I need to pay attention to what God wants to do to us this year. Because this catch-up is not only even for 2017. He wants to do some things in us that will also propel us for 2018. So that by the time we arrive at 2018, we are ready to happen to 2018. I see somebody, when you show up at 2018, you will empty 2018 of his resources. In the name of Jesus. Moses, and this is how I'm going to tie this all together tonight, this morning. Moses, very interesting character in scripture. Moses was going to deliver a people. And God, in just some interesting play of drama, or whatever you can call that, puts Moses in the country and exactly in the ruling house of where he wants him to deliver people from. So Moses was trained by the people that he was going to now later go and confront and say, let my people go. So he was in the palace. 40 years, the Bible says he was in the palace. But they had planned it that his mom was his caretaker or was his caregiver, nanny. So she had schooled him and said, look, Moses, I'm your mom. This is what happened. We put you here for something. I don't know what God wants to do with your life, but you are put here for something. So he kind of had this sense of urgency and sense of ministry, sense of destiny that God had something for him. But first 40 years of his life, he took training. And he thought he was ready to deliver. He thought he was ready to take over and do something. Somehow he had a misagreement with one Egyptian soldier. And the Egyptian soldier was killed. And one day he saw Israelis arguing with one another and he wanted to mediate. And he told them, he said, don't fight one another. Don't you know you guys are brothers? And the Israeli told him that, do you want to kill me the way you killed the Egyptian? So he knew that everybody now knows about the problem. So Moses runs for his life. And then he gets into this next 40 years of what I can call setback. Next 40 years, silent. The deliverer, silent. And if you have been looking at the life of Moses, you would think Moses has failed. But Moses was on a different time zone. You know, if you live in the United States, you understand the concept of time zone. If I say good morning here, it does not mean that in the United States, in the next 4 hours, some people will not say good morning. Because they are in a different time zone. They may be in the Pacific. When I'm still at my own afternoon, they become in their own morning. So sometimes some people are under pressure that some other people are already in their morning. But ladies and gentlemen, they are in a different time zone. They might be in their own morning, but your morning is also coming. Can I get a better amen to that? So Moses, 40 years training, another 40 years wasted, so to say. But God had a plan. God knew what he was doing. God knew what was going to happen, that these 40 years that seemed like Moses had wasted, by the time God finished with Moses, Moses will surpass his own expectation. Because Moses thought he was ready when he was 40. But by the time he was 80, something happened. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. I'm from verse 1 to 17. Moses stands because he was helping his father-in-law with his animal husbandry, that the farm thing that the guy had going on then. And the Bible said he saw a bush burning, but he saw fire, but the bush was not burning. It's like what's happening in California now, but just that fire is just showing. You see fire, but the fire is not consuming anything. The fire is just there. So he moved closer there, and then something remarkable happened. He heard. Can somebody say he heard? So something happened to him. Clear instruction came to him, and that completely turned his life right side up. So I came to conclude with this morning. That how for somebody will know what is next so that they can catch up is that they get clear instructions from God. So when you get clear instructions from God, it helps you to catch up. One word from God, it can accelerate you beyond your imagination. One word from God. Peter had been fishing. He had been toiling all night. The Bible said he had worked so much all night and he caught nothing. But Jesus came and said, cast your net to this side. Do you think they've not cast their net to every other side? In fact, Peter told him, he said, Master, I know that you know a lot of things, but you know I'm a fisherman. I'm an expert in this. And even in the natural, you didn't do fishing, you know. His carpentry you did, so but I will honor you so that I won't look like I'm this bold guy that doesn't listen to my boss. I'll do what you have said, because we have done everything. There's no side here that we have not tried, but all sides there have been failure. And the Bible said he just threw something, just a net, just to test God or test Jesus. And the Bible said he had a great catch just because of what? One word. I believe that because of that word, that statement, the fishes swam there. Because the fish will also listen to his own voice. He's the only one that everything under heaven hears his voice. You know, you may not be able to talk to a house. You may not be able to converse with mountains. But this God can talk to mountains. This God can talk to buildings. This God can talk to inanimate things. That's why your job is not beyond reach for him. That's why your boss is not beyond reach for him. Because this God, everything listens to him. So, if you want to catch up, ladies and gentlemen, for the remainder of this year, you need clear instructions from God. Clear instructions from God. And many of the time, many people just have challenges receiving the instruction. Because, you see, from God, the way God deals is like a broadcast station. If you have a broadcast station, for example, in this room, there's a lot of broadcasting going on now. Some of you don't know that it's happening. For example, there are some people probably watching us on Facebook now because we're broadcasting there. So, and some of you are not doing that. You are not watching on Facebook right here. The reason you are not watching on Facebook right now is because you are not prepared to receive it. So the instructions that God is giving, many of the time, the reason we don't have it is because we are not receiving it. The problem is not the sending. The problem is the receiving. So let me say some few things about receiving, and then we'll go ahead to pray. To receive clear instructions from God, ladies and gentlemen, you must improve your vocabulary. You must improve your vocabulary. I can't give... I was talking to a church member yesterday. She was talking about reading levels and all of that. I can't give some reading material to my son who now reads. And sometimes I tell him to get away when I'm reading something because some of it may be sensitive or beyond his age, you know. So I can't give some materials to him, even though he can read, because it's beyond his vocabulary level. He may sometimes be able to struggle to pronounce it, but he will not really come to understanding of it because it is beyond his what? Vocabulary level. Our understanding level, even in the things of God, is also based on our vocabulary. The better your vocabulary, the clearer you can receive. Look at this scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I'm closing in a short order. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let's look at verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter 3 was the first time God spoke to Samuel. And pretty much this explains how it works with instructions from God. How God instructs the people. How people hear from God. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 7. Is it coming up? Okay. All right. There you go. The Bible says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." Why did scripture say this? Because God had called him, I think, about this time twice. And he kept going back to Eli, thinking he was hearing the voice of Eli. You know, sometimes, let me say this, it's an aside. But sometimes some people will say, "I thought that thing in me." But sometimes it's not you that was thinking it. It was God that was telling you. But what happened was that you were thinking about something about what he now told you about. But he was not, the thing he told you about was he that told you about it. He just used the thing that you were thinking about to get you to the point where he can speak to you. But many people will think it is Eli that is speaking. So the Bible said, Samuel goes to Eli and said, "Eli, did you call me?" And Eli said, "I didn't call you." This thing happened again. He heard the voice and said, "Eli, did you call me?" Eli said, "No, I didn't call you." And that suggests to you that many of the time, the voice of God doesn't sound as mysterious as people think it does. Because some people think when God speaks to, when people say God told them something, they got this instruction from God. They think it's this weird, spooky thing. "My son." You know, some of these movies that we see. It's not quite like that. No. Sometimes it's like thought. Sometimes it's like thought. It's just like you are going, you just think about it. It looks like you thought about it, but you didn't really think about it. It was a suggestion because, you see, the battlefield of life is in the mind. It's the thought arena. It's where the devil wants to get access to. It's where God also wants to get access to. So there's something going on there. So many people think that it's their thought. And that's what Samuel thought. Samuel thought that it was Eli that was calling him. And the Bible said here that the reason he thought that was that the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Or his vocabulary was too low to understand that this was God. And that's why 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2 says this. That as newborn babes, we should desire the sincere milk of the word. How do you improve your vocabulary? The word of God. 2018 is coming now. So many people will start doing New Year resolutions. Can I suggest a New Year resolution to you? Increase your reading of the word of God. Increase your reading of the Bible. Because that's how the vocabulary of clear instructions come. Increase that. Because the more of the word of God you know, the easier it will be for you to receive his instructions and understand his instructions. Many of us, the reason we can't understand his instruction, or even sometimes the reason it seems that God doesn't want us to give us instructions, is because we will not know how to pass it. We will not know how to discern it. We are too one-sided. We are too not ready for it. So the more you desire the sincere milk of the word, the more you stay in it, the more you stay in the word of God, the more things become clear for you. Look at this scripture also. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. When you start getting to a new year like this, one of the things people want is that, what is God saying for the new year? What is God saying? Prophecy. Man of God, what is God saying? What's God, what's the Lord saying? And God God says, God still speaks. God tells us things that are about to come. God says things that are yet undone. But can you read this scripture with me? The Bible says, we have also a sure word of prophecy. There is a word that is guaranteed prophecy. There is guaranteed prophecy. You can know what 2018 carries. You can know what 2018 is all about. It's guaranteed. It doesn't fail. You can take it to the bank. It's cashier's check, money order. It's not your personal check. It will not bounce. And that word of prophecy is in your hand. It's your Bible. Peter said, this word is surer than even when we saw Jesus in the flesh. Because that was what he was saying in this scripture here. He said, we saw Jesus in the flesh. We saw light. We saw Elijah. We saw all of that kind of thing. We saw things. We saw the spectacular. He said, but there is something surer than that spectacular. Because that spectacular can be faked. But there is something that cannot be faked. Forever, oh Lord, your word is settled. So, Peter was saying this. There is a sure word of prophecy. There is a way you can program yourself for success in 2018. You can be guaranteed of success in 2018 by the kind of things you intake if you take in the word of God. He said, so we have a sure word of prophecy. He said, now pay attention to that word. Take heed. So when you pay attention to that word, he now says, we will not, that it will happen to you like the light will begin to shine brighter and brighter until this star. Until there's full-blown light, until Jesus himself fully is covering your life and is showing fully in your life in the name of Jesus. So receiving clear instruction, big part, improve your vocabulary. Improve it. In 2018, let reading the Bible be a big deal. Let it be a big deal. Well, there's probably a program going to come that will help you to do that a little bit, you know, go through the New Testament together. There's this new thing they are doing with a new version that we'll try and give it a shot next year, where a whole congregation can read a scripture together. We will invite you. Pastor will talk about community builder next week. We have a software that everybody's data is now, and you can log into that place. You will let us know about how that works next week. And if we have your accurate data, we can plug you into this OU version thing, and you can be part of a reading plan that we'll do early next year. Because there is something about the vocabulary. If you are low on vocabulary, you won't hear it well. You won't hear God well, because when the devil speaks and God speaks, you won't know the difference. You won't know the difference. So improving your vocabulary is a big part. And lastly this morning, getting eager to obey. Get eager to obey. The Bible said, David inquired of the Lord. When he had this setback, he inquired of the Lord. Why did he get clear instructions very fast from God? Why? Psalm 119 verse 162 explains why it was so easy for him to get clear instruction. Because sometimes some people say, I've asked God. I said, God, show me the way. I said, God, lead me. I said, God, direct me. Pastor, you are talking about this inquiry thing. I've actually asked God. But why is it that God didn't see anything? I asked him, what should I do? And he's quiet. Why? Look at the scripture. David said, I rejoice at your word as one that finds great spoil. Meaning my attitude to what you said before is excitement. I take it seriously. If you take what God tells you today seriously, he will tell you more tomorrow. In fact, do you know why God spoke to Samuel? God spoke to Samuel because God has said the same thing God told Samuel. He had told it to Eli. But Eli did not do anything about it. Eli said, he is God. Let him do whatever he wants to do. And God said, well, yes, I'm God. I will do whatever I want to do. But I need to talk to another person. There are many things that God wants to tell you. Your lack of excitement, your lack of readiness, your willingness to obey, your willingness to do has kept him to stay back. Because if God knows you will not do it, why is he going to waste his time with you? If God will give you an idea, if God will give you an invention, if God will give you something for the whole world and you will not do anything with it, you think God will be red ransom? He will give it to another person. Most of the invention we have today, The people that now have their name on those inventions, they were not the first people that started it. They were not the first people. It was the people that got very eager about it. You know, I've said the story of this McDonald's story here before. The president McDonald now, if you go to McDonald's Corporation, you will see a man's name there as the founder. He's not really the founder. He didn't start it. He just wanted to rewrite history, but that's not true. The people that started McDonald's, their last name is actually McDonald's, the twin brothers. But this other guy got in touch with them and got very excited about it. He got very eager and excited, overly excited even more than the McDonald brothers. And he saw this thing going all over the world. These boys did not see that. They wanted it to keep it small. But you see, that idea was supposed to go all over the world. Somehow, in a way that is quite a little tricky, is the Jacob kind of experience where somebody cheats somebody and all of that story. This guy got the company from them and he took it all over the world. There are sometimes God tells people something. They are the first he tells. They don't do anything about it. He tells another person. Until somebody does something about it, he keeps going and keeps telling and keeps telling and keeps telling. Ladies and gentlemen, catch up is possible. Catch up is possible. Moses, 40 years training. Another 40 years, it looks like the first 40 years he went forward. The next 40 years is like he went backward, 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 right? But thank God. One day, one single day, Exodus chapter 3 from verse 1 to 17. One day, one instruction. He just got to hear one word from God and it changed everything. I'm believing that God will be sending you words. I want you to be prepared in this season. How will you show you are prepared? Note it down. Many people, December 31st, that's when they'll start writing. This is what will happen in 2018. No. Now, if God drops something on your heart, write it down. If God drops an idea on you, write it. Take every small idea as a big deal. Because that's the recipe. That's how you work with God. That's the transactional way God works. If he sees that you are excited about little, he will give you more. God will not entrust big deals into you. Some people are expecting inventions like Facebook, inventions like Microsoft operating system that will change the world. But you see, God won't drop that on your laps if you have not done something with inventions that will change your family. You have to be eager, ladies and gentlemen. You have to be excited. If God drops a word, if you hear a word in church, you don't have to take it casually. You have to be excited. Get excited. Get eager. Start working on it immediately. Do you know why Abraham eventually became the father of faith? It was his father that was supposed to become the father of faith. God had already told his father in Genesis chapter 11. Because his father started that journey that Abraham eventually finished. But his father didn't finish that journey. And God came to Abraham. And God told Abraham. And we saw that the way Abraham deals with instruction from God, when God told him to go and offer Isaac. The Bible said when God told him to go and offer Isaac, the next day, Abraham was on his way out. There are some of us, God will tell us something. By December, he's still telling us again. We have not done anything about it. This time around, things need to change. Things need to change. In the name of Jesus. I want you to bow down your heads this morning. What's next? What's next? That's what everybody is asking. But ladies and gentlemen, the answer to what is next is clear instruction from God. Clear instruction from God. And a major part of that is when you get excited. It's when you are eager. It's when you are ready to obey. We are ready to take action. I want you to ask God for wisdom to be able to inventory and journal the next steps, the next things that he will be suggesting to you, to be able to put them down, to not be casual, to not be lazy, to not be complacent with instructions from heaven in the name of Jesus. Because I am positive God is going to be telling you some things. They may not make sense in the first time when he tells them to you, but when you start taking the step, things get clearer in the name of Jesus. Will you receive help this morning? Receive help. Because it's somebody's turn to catch up. It's somebody's turn to move further ahead in life. In the name of Jesus. Father, together this morning, we believe in you that we receive grace, not to be casual about what you are saying, but to be eager to do, to be ready and willing and able and wanting to do. In the name of Jesus. So also receive grace for a new appetite of the word of God. receive grace. Say, God, whet my appetite for your word in the name of Jesus. I receive a new lease of grace for your word in the name of Jesus. My story is like the story of David, who rejoices at your word, like he that finds spoil in the name of Jesus.